Good morning to each of you. One of the privileges of being up front is being able to say good morning and hello to everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. And also bring you greetings from the little congregation at Kahnawake Christian Fellowship. We're just a small little congregation, a relatively new congregation, about a year and a half ago that we started meeting. And we have been very blessed to have different individuals come in and speak for us. We don't currently have leadership in our congregation. We're working on that, but we don't have leadership. And so we've been dependent heavily on other brethren coming in and speaking for us. And Daryl was there a couple months ago, and John was there a few weeks ago. And just rest easy. I didn't come with an agenda. John came to our little congregation with an agenda. He was looking for a speaker for this morning. Anyway, that's all good. Glad to be here. Today being Father's Day has been mentioned several times. Naturally thought that I should speak a little bit about fathers. And in some ways it's good. I think that most of you don't know me and I don't know you. I can talk more freely and you don't have to judge me because you know what my parenting skills are. or aren't. Fatherhood is challenging. It is also much joy in it. Last evening, we had some of our family, together. Excuse me. We had a little picnic on our patio, and some of our married children were there, and it was interesting to watch them parent our grandchildren. We have six grandchildren, and most of them are pretty young yet. And of course, they're having their squabbles, and it's just kind of a different perspective to sit and watch our children now be parents. And thinking about, you know, the things we did or didn't do in raising our children, and now watching them. This morning, I thought I would start out by thinking a little bit about God, our Father, and what kind of attributes or characteristics God has as a Father to us. And then we'll maybe see if there's some correlation there as far as our responsibilities as fathers, and see whether or not we can learn something from God our Father as to how we should be fathers. And probably in the middle there somewhere, I'm going to just pause for a little bit and give opportunity for any of you to say a word about your father and what his impact your father might have had on your life and what you might have learned from that. My father has been gone for about 20 years, a little more than 20 years. And, you know, you don't know how much you depend on your father until he's not there anymore. And, you know, I realized that all the questions that I used to go and ask my dad, what about this and how do you do that? And then when he's not there, you realize how much you depended on him. We sang a song this morning, how gentle God's commands, how kind his precepts are. Come cast your burdens on the Lord and trust his constant care. I thought that spoke very well to the kind of father that God is to us. He gave us an example when he gave his only son. God sacrificed for our good. He gave of his only son to die for our sins. And as fathers, we are called to sacrifice our desires for our family. And I'll get to talking about God here and his and the attributes of God in a minute, but some of this is so tied together, it's hard to keep it separated. But I think about when we got married, one of the advice that I was given was that now your family is your hobby. And whatever hobby I may have had before, that needs to take second place now, and now my family should be my hobby. And I thought that was good advice and appreciated that. And I think that my father did exemplify that. One of the things I remember about my father is that he was always home in the morning for breakfast, and he was always back home again in the evening for supper. And I know that that's not possible for everybody, depending what your occupation is. But my father was a carpenter, and he could kind of set his own schedule. And even though most of the men in the contracting trade and usually are out going first thing in the morning and on the job and getting things done, my dad was always there in the morning to help us start our day, ate breakfast with us before we went to school, and always appreciated that and tried to do that for my family. And now things are changing a little. As children grow older, and someone mentioned here, you know, learning to relate to older children, and as they become adults and how to relate to them, and now they have their own agendas and they have their own schedules, and that's something that we have constantly grappling with. You know, we had pretty set meal times. My wife was used to that, and now that has become harder. But there is blessings in every stage of life, and learning to relate to your children as adults can be a real blessing. But going back now to thinking again about God being our Father, God is our Creator and has created each one of us, and as such knows each of us very well. And I would say that as fathers, we probably know our children better than most anyone else. We bring them into the world. We know them from the day they're born, and we watch them develop, and we learn their personalities. But God also knows each of us as well in a very intimate way. He is our Creator, and He cares about each one of us. The Bible tells us that He knows the number of every hair on your head, and I think that I probably have a different number today than I did yesterday. Thank you. And God knows that. God knows that number. And that's amazing to me that God cares that much about me to even know how many number of hairs on my head. And if you stop and just let that soak in, I think that you will understand how much God cares about you in the details of your life. And God is the one who gives guidance to our lives. And we see that as we go through the scripture and we look at God's interaction with people, that He leads and guides them. We think about Abraham. Abraham was a man who apparently was seeking for God. We don't know much about Abram's early life, but the Lord came to Abram and He said, "Go from your country, from your people, and from your father's household to a land I will show you." And we know how that God led Abraham, and God was with him and blessed him as Abraham obeyed and followed. God leads us as well. And life has a lot of corners sometimes that we can't see around, has some bumps in the road, and we just need to put out our hand and say, "God, take my hand and guide me." And He was more than willing to do that. Psalm 34:17 says that when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. I was going to say at the beginning that this morning there's a lot of things that I'll say that I'm not going to necessarily give a lot of ultimatums or say this is how you should or shouldn't do it or whatever. One of the speakers in our congregation recently said he's just going to come and bring truth, and he's going to depend on the Holy Spirit to apply to each of your lives as needed. And that's what I want to do this morning. Hopefully we can trust the Spirit and we're open to the Spirit's speaking to each of us. And we're all at different places in our journey, But God cares about each of us and where we are in that journey. In Joshua, it says that not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. And that's amazing to me to think about that statement by Joshua. All the Lord's good promises to Israel were fulfilled. And that was in spite of the people and their failings. God was faithful in spite of that. And we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that as we go along. God is faithful. Familiar verse in Psalm 145, verse 8. It says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. And we could spend a lot of time just talking about God's love. And as I meditated on that, though, I kept had this thought in the back of my mind, you know, but God is also a God of justice and a God of judgment. Well, in a week or so, I've assigned a topic at a summer Bible school about justice and judgment. And so I have that in the back of my head, and I'm thinking about God, our Father, and we like to focus on God's love and his care for us. He's gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, rich in love. And how do we balance these things about God, our Father? I was thinking about God again and his creation of mankind and how he knows us intimately, and thinking about how things went with the creation. It didn't go too long until people started living for themselves and turned away from God and became evil to the point that God decided he was going to destroy mankind. And yet even in that decision, we see that God's compassionate, his compassion and his slowness to anger. After he talked to Noah and told him what his plan was to destroy the earth, he waited another, we're not sure, maybe 100 years, we're not sure. Maybe it was only 75. But there was quite a number of years there where God patiently waited while Noah built the ark and preached righteousness. God gave people opportunity to turn back to him. I think that was an evidence of God's graciousness and compassion. We can read about that in 1 Peter. I'm going to read some verses from 1 Peter. Peter picks up this theme about God and his compassion during the time of Noah. 1 Peter 3. Verse 20, it says, those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And then we can go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and he brings this up again. Talks about God's judgment on the angels who turned away from God, how they were thrown out of heaven. And it says in verse 5, and God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and 7 others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. And then it also goes on and talks about how he delivered Lot and talks about God's justice and God's love, even in despite his love, even in spite of justice and judgment. Second Peter 3:9 also tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to faith. Sometimes it seems like God decides what he is going to do in relation to love and justice, and we don't have anything to say about it. Sometimes it can feel like maybe in some ways we're pawns in the world and God's in control. But I was impressed couple weeks ago, we used the CLE Sunday School material, and the Sunday School lessons are being taken out of Numbers right now. And we were reading about how that when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and they got to the border of the land of Canaan that they sent spies in, and we know how that they came back and most of the spies were discouraged and said, we can't go in. And again, it was a time when God seemingly lost patience with mankind, and he said, told Moses, just stand back and let me destroy them, and I'll raise up a new group of people from your descendants. And Moses intervened, and he pled for the lives of the people, and he used the logic of, God, if you do this, what are the people of the world, what are the people from Egypt going to say? That you had strength to take them out, but you didn't have strength to finish the job, to deliver them to Canaan. And it seemed like Moses was able to change God's mind about the judgment. And I thought that was interesting, and it was also challenging to me. How much do I care about people and the judgment that is coming on them? Do I plead with God for mercy? And in some ways, it does seem like God did change his mind, and yet he didn't. He didn't destroy them outright right there, but he took 40 years to do it then. So there still was judgment, and yet God's love was evident, and probably in sparing the children, and then raising them up and taking them into the land of promise that had been promised to their fathers. Again, God does fulfill his promises, every one of them. And even in spite sometimes of us and our failings. Hebrews 12 tells us that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so there is that balance of God's love for us and his justice and judgment. And I don't know in your minds how you're thinking about that in relation to your responsibilities as fathers or about how that your father's related to you. Maybe I'll just give this time. Anybody have anything they want to share about their fathers and the experience in life?
Caught than taught. And when I reflect on that, on my father loved people, and he would reach out to people, he would share the gospel. He was a lumberjack, and different times we would stop somewhere, and as I got older, I got fidgety sometimes, and we'd stand there for 2 hours, and he'd be talking about the Lord and something that's going on. And what's interesting to me is how that has gone on. As I watch my siblings, their interest in people is obvious. And even to our children, the same. And I realize it goes back to my father's heart of love for God and his desire to help others, how that has gone down through, beyond him.
Parts of my father. In my younger years, my father was not very Christian. But he found the Lord in an older age. And he was a very giving person. He was a very hardworking person. And there's a lot of people who loved him because he was just a very sharing, caring person. My parents were both that way. And I am thankful that I had that privilege of knowing both sides of my father.
His favorite song was, "Blessed be the tie that binds." And as he was growing up, he sort of had a goal or mission of sometime being a shepherd, like David was on the hills and taking care of the sheep. But he did go out west before he was married. I don't know if that was in pursuit of that or not, but he did come back from that trip, and even though he was over 30 years old, mother, and they got married, and they never, 12 children, and different times he mentioned that God gave him a flock of children.
I think my dad's favorite song was, "It's a beautiful day for the Lord to come again." That was one that he sang a lot. And what I remember about my dad is that he didn't hold grudges against people who maybe he had disagreements with or whatever. And I haven't probably lived up to that like I see my father's example in my life. Life sends a lot of hard things sometimes our way, and I just know that my dad went through a lot of hard things, and yet he didn't hold grudges. My dad died young, unexpectedly. He had an accident. He was on a mission trip to Asia, had a motorbike accident in Thailand, passed away as a result of that accident. And some of the people that you could have said he maybe had the most conflict with in the just a few years before that were some of the people who showed up at the viewing and the funeral and had a lot of good to say about my dad. And it spoke to me a lot about my dad's attitude towards those that he didn't always agree with. And the most sobering thing is, as a father, is about how our decisions affect our children's lives. And I'm not going to take time to look into this, but I was thinking about King David and his decisions, some of the decisions he made in life, and how it affected his home life and his children and his boys, and the bloodshed and the conflict and things that came into that family because of David's failures. And that's the negative side of it. There's, of course, the positive side is when, and that's normally the things that we remember, right, of our parents when they're gone, the positive things that they did for us, and that's good and right. Well, even if you're not a biological father this morning, you may fill the role of a father in someone's life. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he said, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. You know, and Paul, he said he was a father to the church at Corinth. And I think I find that true in my life as well. There's been a lot of people that are more than happy to give me instruction and whatever, but I haven't had a lot of people who were a father to me, and I think that's a challenge to each of us. Can we be a father? Can we care? Can we provide for the needs of those around us? A couple of things that Paul did say to different of the churches. To the Thessalonians, he said, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And to the Galatians, he said, my little children, of whom I travail and birth again until Christ is formed in you. Paul was giving instruction to the church, and he was doing it as a father would. And to Philemon, he said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So even though Paul didn't have a physical family, yet there were many people, I believe, who did call him father and looked up to him as a father. There's a song that the Esch family sang that has meant a lot to me in different times. The challenge to me, and I'm going to read this song. Daddy, will you be there for me when I wake up in the night? When I cannot close my eyes and sleep, will you rock me, hold me tight? When you drive my tractor on the floor and pitch my balls and push my swing, may I come to you with broken toys? Will you mend my broken things? Will you be there for me? Will you love my mommy and hug me every day? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be home at night and teach me how to pray? When you come home from your work at night, Daddy, then I want you near. There are problems that are too big for me. Will you stop and give your ear? I don't care if you are rich or poor. I just want to have your heart. I just want to know that you're my friend. I will try to do my part. Will you be there for me when I have a problem and need to share? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be there for me? Will you really care? I think I got the other part over here. Daddy, will you be there for me when I need someone to care? When I face this life's complexities and I'm ready to despair? Am I more to you than anything? Do you love me? I'm your child. May I come to you with broken dreams when I'm broken and defiled? Will you be there for me? Will you guide me? Will you help me to forgive? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, will you be there for me and teach me how to live? Daddy, will you be there for me when I face my setting sun? When I stand before the judgment seat, when I hear those words, well done. Will you have taught me right from wrong? Will your teaching stand the test? Will I enter into heaven's land with my Lord forever blessed? I'm depending on you, Daddy, and I hope you understand. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, you are my gift from God. Take me, hold my hand. You know, sometimes we say that our children are a gift from God to us. But the reverse is also true, that we are a gift, fathers are a gift from God to our children. So I pulled out some of these notes I have from a message I prepared, I don't know how many years ago, a number of years ago, and pulled these notes out, and I have an acronym. I think John will appreciate this. When he was in our congregation, he brought a number of acronyms. An acronym for Daddy. The first one is dedicated. D for dedicated. Devoted, wholeheartedly devoted, and committed to a goal, cause, or job. Again, I think back to the advice I was given to make my family to be my hobby. Takes committedness, it takes sacrifice of my personal interest to be devoted. You know, will you be there, like that song said, will you be there for them when they have their needs, when they have a toy to mend, or when they have broken dreams? Dedicated, intended for only one purpose, designed to carry out only one task. You know, we say just one task, but it's so multifaceted. You know, it's taking care of your wife, the mother of your children, and also taking care of the children and their many needs. Not just their physical needs, provide for them, but also for their spiritual and emotional needs, for their spiritual needs. So when you have to decide between two activities, between something your family's doing and something that you personally wanted to do, is it hard to decide? Or you dedicate it? A is for available. Able to be gotten, able to be used and obtained, or spoken or consulted. Being available, to me, speaks of time. Someone has said that children spell love, T-I-M-E. What is important? Or you have time for what's important to them? Are my children's things any more insignificant in eternity than my things? My agenda? D, dependable. Do I keep my promises? And do I love no matter what? Do my children know that they are loved unconditionally? And even if they make a mistake, that they can come and depend on my love. The third D, decisive. This one can be a little harder, maybe tricky sometimes. Be decisive. Decisive means being able to settle something, a debate or a controversy. And as fathers, I think we get called to do that sometimes. How well do we do? Do we represent God to our children in the areas of being decisive, in areas of judgment and justice? Do they feel love, even when they need correction, or even when there's a decision that needs to be made, do they feel that it's done in love? We do have responsibility as fathers to set guidelines, to be decisive, to lead. But do we do it with a hand of love? And last, why? Yield it. Yield it to God. You know, mature men are what they are because they have made choices in spite of, or in sometimes in total regard for, their feelings. Yield it to God, yield it to God's will for our lives. Do we ask God for direction for how, when, and where? As we have decisions to make, as we face decisions. Again, a promise from 2 Corinthians. God's call, along with a promise, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Also, like with how Jesus described his father and our father. In Luke, he says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give you a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will ye offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? One of my favorite verses is from Isaiah 40 in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Thought about that verse when a brother over here talked about his father having a flock. Such a precious promise. And God gives us children, gives us responsibility. He's also there to guide and direct us. So I hope today that as you think about the responsibilities of being father, you'll take some encouragement from the way that your father, your God, your father, relates to you and deals with you. God bless each of you.